Jesus started the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 3, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Now we've said if the people who gathered on that mountain that day looked at Jesus with surprise that he pronounced blessings for the poor in spirit and those who mourn, pronouncing the blessing on the meek would have been scandalous. The meek are not blessed. They're anything but. They don't get rewarded. The meek get pushed around. Nobody who wanted to be somebody ever chose meekness. They wouldn't settle for meekness in their lives. The leaders and the movers and shakers in their society, and probably in ours, they were arrogant and proud of it. In their world, might made right. So there was never a time to back down. There was never a time to sign up for this quality that invited other people to run over you. Yet, here, in the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus is establishing the kingdom of God, one heart at a time, right here at the beginning, he says, "I want to choose the meek as my teammates." When he wrote his last will and testament, it was the meek that he left everything to. So how can that be? Are they people, the last people we would choose to be, or are they people that God wants to bless and honor and give them the land? Who were the meek? Is it possible that Jesus and the leaders of their day, the movers and shakers in the church and in politics, is it possible that they just weren't on the same page about who constituted the meek? If you fast forward to our day, I think that the same question applies. If we were to identify the meek around us, would we identify the same people that Jesus chose? Now, I decided to look it up in the dictionary to see if I could get some truth, some clarity, and the fact is, there are two distinct definitions for the meek, which seems to lend some credence to the idea that maybe we're talking about different groups of people. The first definition is that the meek are the humbly patient or docile, the humbly patient or docile under provocation from others. The humbly patient or docile under provocation from others. And the second definition is overly submissive or spiritless. The meek are mild. Overly submissive or spiritless. Now, I think Jesus operated with one of those definitions, and we have a tendency to operate with the other. So what is the difference? The difference really comes down to the driving force of meekness. What is it that motivates or drives meekness? And there are two distinctions, two different driving forces for meekness. There is the meekness of resignation and the meekness of resolution. Okay, the meekness of resignation and the meekness of resolution. And those two things are very different. We are resigned to meekness because it's just the way it is, or we are resolved to choose meekness. Meekness of resignation and meekness of resolution. Now, the meekness of resignation is typically practiced by the intimidated, the mild, the unassertive. and those who generally have lost hope. These are the people that will step off the sidewalk when someone else is coming because it just feels like that's what they're supposed to do. They're the ones who, when something goes wrong, they just immediately believe it's their fault. Eye contact among the meek of resignation is rare. When others step forward in groups to speak up, it's this meek group that shrinks back and swallows their tongue. The meekness of resignation prevents us from putting in for raises or pursuing promotions. They don't even try. The mantra of this meek group is, well, it's just the way it is. Can't do anything about it. And so, generally speaking, this group of people is not assertive in the area of legitimate claims. Where they have a legitimate claim, they'll just step aside. But on the rare occasion when they do assert themselves, it is generally in the most unhealthy way. It's like they get pushed into a corner, and then they're so beaten down that they ultimately explode in ineffectual rage. They're meek. But it's only by resignation. It isn't by choice. They are resigned to the belief that other people have more to offer than they do, that other people are smarter than they are, that they really just don't matter. And what happens with this group of people is they just kind of choose to live with it. Maybe they learn to live with it. But that's not the life any of us were created to live. That's not where God wants us to be. At the heart of meekness by resignation is the belief that others are better and other people are more important than I am. And that is meekness that God wants to deliver us from. That is not the way things are supposed to be. And that's why he threw open the doors to the kingdom of God to the meek, to the outcast, to those who no one else would choose to be on their team. Jesus looked at them and said, I want the meek. Blessed are the meek. Jesus wants the outcasts, the meek, to own the truth that David communicated in Psalm 139 when he said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He went on to say, your works, God, are wonderful. I know that full well. And what he was intimating was that I am one of them. I don't have to shrink back or cower or consider that I don't matter. I do. And he went on to say, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So what God is saying, what David's saying, and what Jesus is saying to the meek by resignation is, stop. You're wrong. You've been duped by the enemy. You matter. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God created you specifically to live a meaningful, difference-making life. You are created to make a contribution. All your days are ordained by God. So you don't have to stand down or to take a back seat to anybody. With Jesus, you are blessed. You are an overcomer. Live the life God created you to live. Meekness by resignation, Christ wants to get rid of. And you should too. But here's what's interesting. And I want you to pay close attention here, because this is critical that we understand. Jesus then turns this around on us and says that when you step into the kingdom of God and you understand that you are loved by God and he wants you to be on your team, when you're connected to your Creator through faith in Jesus Christ, then you're supposed to embrace and cultivate the meekness of resolution. The meekness of resolution. So what is that? What does it mean? Well, the idea is that you are resolved to choose meekness. That you are resolved to be patient and to deal with others in gentility when provoked. Okay, one form of meekness, the meekness of resignation, is unprovoked. It's just the sad distortion that I don't matter, and it comes from within. But meekness of resolution is where we choose meekness. In his book Humilitas, John Dixon tells a story that happened in the mid-1930s in the city of Detroit. And there were three young men were at a bus stop. They decided they were going to wreak havoc with someone's life. And so they hopped on a bus looking to make trouble. And when they got on, they looked in the back of the bus and there was one man sitting by himself. And they thought he looked like an easy target. So they decided to pick a fight with him. And they approached him and they began hurling insults at him. And the man did not respond. So they amped up their provocation, and still he said nothing. And as they closed in on him, this man stood up. And they realized in that moment that they had underestimated his size. He was bigger than they thought. The fact is, he was much bigger. And so they looked up at him, and he was fumbling in his pocket, and he pulled out a business card. And he handed him the card. And then he parted them to the side, got off the bus, and went on his way. As the bus drove away, those three young men huddled around that business card, and here's what it said: Joe Lewis, boxer. Now, they had just tried to pick a fight with the man who would be the heavyweight boxing champion of the world from 1937 to 1949. And according to the International Boxing Research Organization, he was the number one boxer of all time. And if you're wondering, Muhammad Ali was second. Joe Lewis was said to be able to knock out a horse with one punch. Now, I don't know how they got that information. I certainly wouldn't have wanted to be there when they did, right? Or poor horse. But it makes the point. Here's a man, a real man, of incredible power and skill, capable, fully capable of taking care of himself with three men, or six men, or 10 men. He could defend his honor. He could ensure that he was never disrespected again. Yet, he chose to hold his power. He did it for the sake of others. In this case, needless to say, for some very fortunate young men. That is the meekness of resolution. He chose meekness. Lewis resolved in that moment that he was going to subdue his strength for the sake of his attackers. When Jesus said that the meek are blessed, that in his kingdom they would inherit the land. It was the meekness of resolution that he was talking about. It's that meekness of resolution that we should cultivate. It's a meekness of resolution that reveals that we are indeed not just believers in Jesus, which is so important, but that we are followers of Jesus as well. In other words, we are choosing to live as Jesus lived. So the question is, how do we cultivate that meekness of resolution? How do we get to the place where we're choosing to subdue our strength under provocation for the good of others? And I'm not just talking about when you're sitting on the back of a bus and three people get on to attack you. I'm talking about in your home when you feel slighted or dishonored. I'm talking about in your workplace when someone has wronged you. You've gotten your dander up and you're exploding inside and you want to fight for what you know to be right. I'm talking about when people insult you and say all kinds of evil against you. How do you resolve meekness, to be meek in that moment? Well, I think there are four facets of meekness that we really need to grasp if we're going to begin to follow God's lead in living meekly. First is, I think we have to understand that meekness of resolution is first and foremost submissive to God, his word, and his will. The meekness of resolution is first and foremost submission to God, his word, and his will. Now, if you have your Bibles and you want to read a fabulous passage of Scripture, I'm going to be reading from James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. James chapter 1, which, by the way, if you're looking around your Bible and you're not sure where that is, turn all the way to the back to the book of Revelation, and this like five short books in front of that is the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 19. Remember, he is writing this to followers, to believers, who are supposed to be choosing the meekness of resolution. James chapter 1, verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Sit up straight. Get out your note card. Listen, pay attention. That's what he's saying. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now, I'm just going to stop right there and tell you, most of the time we would look at that and go, oh, he's talking about the way we interact with others. Wrong. In this instance, James is talking about the way we interact with the Word of God. So I want you to think about it. I'm going to say it again. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. Quick to listen to God's word, slow to speak against God's word, and slow to become angry about God's word. Why? Verse 20, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. His word does, his wisdom will, but our anger doesn't. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. The idea is we have a garden here, the garden of our hearts. And God gives us word that should bear fruit in our heart gardens. But if we are arguing with him, slow to listen, then what he plants in us isn't going to bear fruit. So we have to humbly accept that word. Now the word humbly there, which is the descriptor of how we are to receive God's word, that's the root word for meek. In other words, meekly receive the word implanted in you, which can save you. When we hear God's word, we aren't supposed to argue with him. We aren't supposed to resist its truth or even become angry when it infringes upon our freedom or seems to want to take away our happiness. In trusting God, we willingly submit to God by meekly accepting the truth that he has graciously provided us. He didn't have to tell us how this should work. He didn't have to give us insight in the way we should go. But he did. And so rather than following the lead of our flesh and resisting that wisdom that our flesh is going to fight against, we meekly suppress our power, suppress the freedom of our will, and we receive his word. What does it look like? It looks like we're quick to listen to God's word. Slow to speak our objections. We resist anger because we accept that what God is giving us is wisdom. In short, we remember that in God's kingdom, God is king. You know what the king gets to do? Call the shot. So if we are in his kingdom, if we're followers of Jesus, then we're acknowledging his kingship, his lordship, and we're submitting to the truth of his word in every area of our lives. And listen, here's the benefit. When we are meek toward God, it trains us in meekness toward others. Which leads us to the second characteristic of the meek. They're self-controlled. Think about Joe Lewis on that bus. Thank heavens. He was exercising self-control. The third beatitude, I think, is uniquely challenging because it involves the issue of relationship with other people. How do I respond when people hurt me? How do I respond when people misunderstand me or label me or push me off the sidewalk? How do I respond when people make unjust demands of me or live with unhealthy expectations about me? The meek that Jesus was talking about, the meek of resolution, they're people whose strength is disciplined and whose power is subdued for the benefit of others. That's loving and serving people as Jesus did. And doing so requires immense measures of self-control. You really try to serve people as Jesus did, people that don't appreciate you or are trying to take advantage of you, requires discipline. Do you remember how Jesus served people? He said in Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28, he said, "Come to me." Now, I want you to think, he's serving people. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened," which, by the way, that weariness and those burdens may cause them to attack you, certainly cause them to attack Jesus. Yet, he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened," not just the ones I like, not just the ones that are behaving the way I think they should behave, but all of you, "and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle," meek. "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When he said he was gentle, he was using the same word he used in the Beatitude for meek. Jesus was meek. If we don't exercise self-control among people who are trying to take advantage of us or who are disrespecting us, then we will never be able to respond to them with the gentility that relieves their burdens and sets them free. We become enabling in that cycle. We keep them in it because we're attacking them and they draw in. But when we approach with meekness, intent on serving them, then the transforming power of God's presence and his wisdom begins to take hold. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus would later, after the Beatitudes, explain that in the kingdom of God, we don't respond to people as we've been taught. You remember these words in Matthew chapter 5? He said, "You've heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist the evil person. Matter of fact, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also." Really? Really? "And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, give them your coat as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too." Why would we do that? Because the meek will inherit the land. The extra mile, turning the other cheek, it's the epitome of meekness. It's rising to the challenge of obliging your oppressor. There's no question that requires immense measures of self-control. It's self-control, however, that we have access to through the Holy Spirit. You know that self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. So if you're a follower of Jesus, you're in his kingdom, you have his Holy Spirit, you have the capacity to choose the meekness of resolution. But are you resolved to do so? Will you live with self-control that unleashes the transforming power of meekness? Third, meekness of resolution does not demand respect. Now, I want you to think about that. Meekness of resolution does not demand respect. It does not require the honor due me. In our world, respect is everything, and if you disrespect me, you can expect to pay for it. It's especially true of men. If you're familiar with that groundbreaking marriage study called Love and Respect, then you know that the whole thesis of that study is that in order for a marriage to thrive, not just survive, but to thrive and be all that God called it to be, then there needs to be love and respect. A woman needs to know that she's loved, cherished, and treasured, and a man needs to know that he's respected, that he's honored. Within the marriage, it just sets each partner free. And by the way, in the marriage, the husband should serve the wife in love, and the wife should understand the importance of honor and respect. Without those two, a marriage will descend into the crazy cycle. And the reality is, respect is a big deal, and being respected always brings out the worst in us. But what Jesus was saying here is, not if you're choosing meekness. If we're living with the meekness that Jesus calls for and provides, then we are swallowing our pride and we are actually denouncing our need for respect. I want you to think about that. Does anything wake you up more than being disrespected? I mean, it just gets your blood flowing, right? And Jesus says, no, you've got to let go of that. Denounce it. So we don't attack disrespect. We don't plot ways to pay it back. We actually respect the disrespecter by doing unto them what we would have them do unto us. It's meekness of resolution. Finally, meekness of resolution prefers to bear injuries rather than return them. Prefers to bear injuries rather than return them. Now, this is the kind of meekness that, this is so hard to do. But it allows God to handle the injustice we face. Jesus, I don't know if you know this or not, but when Jesus stated the third beatitude, blessed are the meek, he's actually quoting Psalm 37. And Psalm 37, which we read earlier today, is really a song about what we should do when evil people succeed, how we should respond to that, how we should interpret the world we're living in. And the message is that when evil people are succeeding, our best choice is to be still and wait on God. Here's what Psalm 37, verse 7 says. I'm going to read 7 through 11. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Don't fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek by resolution, they will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity to boot. So what's he saying? In the face of injury, injustice, misunderstanding, provocation, we have a tendency to fight back. Why? Because we need to protect our turf. We got to protect our turf. This is mine. But Jesus, quoting this psalm, says, listen, it's the meek whose turf is protected by God. As a matter of fact, it's the meek who inherit the land. And because it's the inheritance of God, then that inheritance is going to come with peace and prosperity. So whatever you think you're going to get by attacking and defending your turf, you may win the moment, but what's going to happen is you're winning it in such a way that there's no peace. There's paranoia, there's fear, there's this idea that I may lose something. But what Jesus says, what God is saying, is that if we do it with meekness, we step aside and we submit. We bear the injury rather than returning it. then in the end, God's going to give you all the land. It's your inheritance because you're in his kingdom. And when he gives it to you, it comes with peace and prosperity. So, what's the message? When someone does us wrong or evil, according to Psalm 37, rather than playing God and saying, "Sweet vengeance is mine," we choose not to get our nose out of joint, we choose not to get our dander up, we refrain from anger and turn from the urge to exercise our wrath. We bear the injury, no matter how badly we have been wronged, which means we don't run and tell everybody we can find. We aren't quick to defend ourselves on social media or wherever else. We're not broadcasting the fact that they're wrong and we're right. That's a vengeance is mine kind of lifestyle. No trace of meekness by resolution there. Because that kind of meekness bears injury rather than returning it. You understand that Jesus, who was God, fully God, fully man, he was the epitome of the meekness of resolution. In his lifetime, we know this is true. He defended the truth. He attacked those who were attacking others. He corrected those who were taking advantage of those who couldn't take care of themselves. But you know when he didn't defend and attack? When they came after him. In those moments, he bore injury rather than returning it. He always suppressed his strength for the good of others. And that was never more clear than when he died on the cross. Do you remember what happened when they had him hanging up there? They looked at Jesus and said, "Hey, if you're the Son of God, then why don't you come down there?" They provoked him by saying, "He saved others, let him save himself. He can't do it, can he?" And all the while, Jesus on the cross had 12 legions of angels at his disposal. At any time, he could have stepped down off that cross and defended himself. But he chose not to. He embraced the meekness by resolution. He knew that he couldn't save others if he saved himself. And so in meekness, he hung in there literally, submitting to the will of God so he could save your soul and mine. So he could open the kingdom of God that we might have access. It was his meekness that changed the world. And according to Jesus, those of us who want to be part of advancing his kingdom, who want to experience his blessing and inherit his land, we too will choose meekness. Do you choose meekness? Jesus reserved blessing for those who do. Let's bow our heads. First, I just want to address those who maybe are on the outside of the kingdom of God looking in. You're not a believer, you're not a follower for whatever reason. Maybe it's because you don't really feel like you're worthy. Maybe maybe you just don't understand the truth that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God loves you no matter what has preceded this moment. No matter the decisions you've made. The fact is, God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you. You are chosen. He has opened the doors of the kingdom of God for you. And he says, come to me, place your faith in me, and I will give you rest. I will make you an overcomer. If life is pushing you off the sidewalk, I want you to understand that you're so loved that I died for you. In meekness, Jesus gave his life for you. So if you're not a follower of Jesus, then let this be the day that you embrace the truth of the gospel. Place your faith and trust in him. And if you're a believer, then you need to understand what you're called to do. You're called to submit to God. And in doing so, you will unlock the transforming power of meekness in the world around you. It requires self-control, but it's available by God through his Holy Spirit. In the end, choosing meekness will take you one step further to becoming like your Savior. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. Father, we're so thankful for the perfect illustration of meekness. We're thankful that Jesus chose to subdue his power. He chose to submit to your will, to choose to live and die for us, that we could have life and enjoy the rich inheritance of your kingdom. So, Father, right now, if someone is considering coming into that kingdom, I pray that you would meet them by your grace, meet their faith with your transforming love. Father, for those of us who have been walking with you for some time, I pray that we would learn to live meekness by resolution in your power. It's in the very strong name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.